All right, so we're concluding our series, Forgiving Forward. As you know, the book written by our friend, Dr. Bruce Hebel. Those of you that don't know, this is the only class that you have to take to be a member of New Dimensions Church. You have to complete this fully. And the reason is that when I asked God how to build, how to develop a healthy church, this is what he sent me. And he told me, he said, teach people to forgive and church will be healthy. Most of the issues we have in churches are because of unforgiveness. Okay? So today's lesson is, are we our brother's keeper? Are we our brother's keeper? So do a quick review. We told you in week one, we told you God expects forgiven people to forgive others. We also told you forgiveness is at the core of the gospel message. There's no way you can cut the gospel and not come up with forgiveness. We told you unforgiveness is the most harshly disciplined sin for a believer. And we'll review 18 for you, but in Matthew 18, it makes it clear that unforgiveness is the only sin that a believer can involve themselves in that will cause God to remove his hedge of protection from their life. And he'll allow the tormentor to come in until they repent and forgive. And nothing else will do. It's not like you can sow a seed to end the torment. It's not like you can pray your way out of it. No. You're going to have to forgive from your heart, and then the torment ends. We told you that the blood of Jesus covers all sins, including the ones committed against me. We love the idea that the blood of Jesus covers the sins of those who have offended us. We love the idea that the blood of Jesus covers the sins of those who have wronged us, but it covers all sin, including the ones committed against me. So therefore, it's not just my sin. It's not just the stuff I've done to other people. It's the stuff that's been done to me that has to be forgiven too. All right? Next. All right, so Matthew 18 is our principal scripture for the entire series. For those of you that are playing catch-up, maybe you missed the earlier messages. Matthew 18 is a story. Jesus is he's actually telling an allegory because of a question that was asked to him by Peter. Peter says to him, "says Lord, how many times shall my brother offend me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Peter's thinking seven times is a lot. And so Jesus starts talking about how, you know, there was this great man. He was about to go on a trip, and he started to demand that all of his servants pay him what they owed. And it goes into this guy who owed a lot of money. He didn't owe a year's wages. Dr. Bruce gets into the specifics of it in the book. The guy didn't owe a year's wages. He didn't owe 2 years' wages. He owed essentially 150 years worth of wages. 150 years worth of wages. He owed, by today's estimate, it would be, according to Dr. Bruce, it would be $7.5 billion. $7.5 billion with a B. All right? So he owed a debt he couldn't pay. Right? And his master has mercy on him. He pleads with his master for more time. His master is merciful. He doesn't say, "Yeah, I'll give you a 150-year mortgage." No, he tells him, "I'm just going to forgive the debt. You've convinced me." And the Bible says that that same servant went out and found somebody that owed him what would be the equivalent of a month's or maybe even a year's wages, and said, "Give me my money." What's interesting is that that guy pleaded with him the same way he pleaded with his master. He pleaded for more, "Just give me more time. I promise you, I'll get it paid." The scripture says that he threw that man in debtor's prison. He threw him in jail. He said, "I'm going to lock you up until you can pay." When the other slaves saw this, having seen that the master had forgiven his debt, they went and told the master. And the master goes to this guy and says, you wicked servant. He said, I forgave you all of this debt. He says, could you have not? Then he says, turn him over to the tormentors until he pays. Now, what was he supposed to pay? Because his debt had been forgiven. He was supposed to pay the same thing he had received, forgiveness. So he said, lock him up, allow the tormentors to torment him until he forgives. And then Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus stops the allegory, turns to his disciples, and says, and so will my Father do unto you, except you forgive from your heart. Verse 35. Right? All right. So today, we're going to talk about, are we our brother's keeper? And our responsibility in the whole process of now that we understand forgiveness, now that we've been taught to forgive, what is our responsibility to the rest of the body of Christ? Okay? Next. I had some things, some notes. You skipped my notes. Go to the content that's between this slide and the last slide, please. Go to the content slide that's between this slide and that. Thank you. That's where I want you to be. All right. The Bible tells us a story of two brothers in the book of Genesis. Story of Cain and Abel. A very well-known story. The Bible tells us that both brothers offered a sacrifice. That Cain offered the sacrifice. It was the first fruit from his harvest. Abel, who was a herdsman, offered the first fruit from his herd. And the Bible says that God found Abel's offering to be more pleasing. And so he accepted Abel's offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. Now, you would think that the simple thing to do would be, if God accepts Barb's offering and doesn't accept my offering, the simple thing to do would be just go to God and ask him what was wrong with my offering. But that's not what Cain does. He becomes totally jealous of the fact that God accepted his brother's offering, and he kills his brother. He kills his brother. And if you go read the story, God shows up and he asks Cain, where is your brother? And Cain responds with a very interesting question. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Well, what we want you to know is that now that we've been set free from torment, from the torment of unforgiveness, you know, what is it? What do we do next? Well, the Bible is clear that we now have a biblical responsibility to share the message of forgiveness and to help others get out of bondage. You have now been authorized by God to help other people understand the message of forgiveness, help them understand how important it is, and help them understand how severely God deals with it. People need help to get out of torment. People need help to get free. In the video, Dr. Bruce uses the analogy of a bear trap. Anybody here ever been bear hunting, seen a bear trap? Okay, well, I'm gonna use an analogy that I know that y'all can relate to. I'm gonna use an analogy of a straitjacket, because when they put a person in a straitjacket, They put their arms in. Yeah, because I've had to do this stuff. See, you don't know the stuff I've had to do. They put it on the arms. It's zipped from the back. Then there's straps put on. This arm is taken, and the sleeve is extra long so that they can fasten it over here. So this arm is stuck like this, and then this arm is taken, and it goes all the way around and fastens over here. So this arm, and this person is just like this. This is self-love. You know what you call it, self-love? Give yourself a hug. And so the person is like this. And with the exception of maybe Harry Houdini, very few people have been able to figure out how to get out of this without help. Now, they say that Harry Houdini was able to do it because he had developed the ability to dislocate certain joints so that he can get out. But the average person, when they are put in this position with this jacket on, the only way they can get out is somebody has to help them. Somebody, now watch this, somebody has to untangle them and then help them undo the mess that they've gotten themselves into just so that they can experience freedom again. Are you hearing me? All right, now let's look at our scripture. Second Timothy 2 verse 2 says this, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So guess what? I heard the message of forgiveness because I needed to forgive. When I met Dr. Bruce, we had known each other for all of about 10 minutes. And he said, "Tell me your story. I want to hear your story." And I started telling him my story. And about 20 minutes later, he said, "You do realize you're dealing with unforgiveness, right?" I said, "No, I'm not." Because see, like most of us, I thought because I went, "I'm good," that meant I had forgiven. Two kids playing in the yard. One punches the other one. Mother sees it, runs out and grabs both of the kids and says, "Tell Johnny you're sorry." And the kid says to Johnny, "I'm sorry." And what does Johnny say? "It's okay." It's okay. But has he really forgiven it? Because see, sometimes we say it's okay, but it's still a festering issue. And so what happened is I'm sitting there at this table in a restaurant, and Dr. Bruce walks me through forgiveness. Then he says, "Here, take this home and watch this." And I think he gave me a DVD, and I went home, I watched the DVD. And once I had watched the DVD, I realized, whoa, I really hadn't forgiven. So now that I've heard the message of forgiveness, it is now my responsibility. The things that you've seen and heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, teach these also to men who have the ability to teach others. So the fact that you've heard the message, guess what? God is now calling you to work the message. It's now your job to help other believers, especially, experience the freedom that you're experiencing. Uh-oh. Let's go. Next. Point number one, God has called us to set others free. God has called us to set others free. So we told you how, you know, people get themselves in entanglements. They get themselves in issues. And they need somebody to help them get out of it. Right? Thank you. The Holy Spirit was in here a little while ago. I just want y'all to know. Now there's like a laughing spirit in here or something. But God has called us to set people free, to help people get out of the stuff they get themselves into, to help them get over the torment, to help them get out of the torment. And guess what? They need our help. And sometimes the person doesn't even realize they need our help. Because they don't even realize that they're stuck or that they're dealing with unforgiveness. Are you hearing me? Next. This is what Colossians says. Watch this, Colossians 1:28. He says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, I want to focus your attention on that word admonishing. That word admonishing literally means that I am confronting. Confronting. So all this stuff they're teaching right now, can't nobody judge me but God. Y'all need to stay out of my life. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. The Bible tells us very plainly that if a brother is caught in a fault, go to him. That's what it tells in Matthew. Go to him. So now, if Paul says it this way to the Colossians, he said, admonish every man. Confronting. Confronting. Most people, the reason people need to be confronted about unforgiveness is because they don't know that unforgiveness is sin. And they don't know that unforgiveness is the most harshly punishable sin for the believer. And so they think that some things you just can't forgive. And so they feel justified in their unforgiveness. It's a self-righteousness. And so somebody has to confront that deception and tell them, no, this is not God's will for your life. This is not God's plan for your life. You need to be set free. And I'm here to help you. I have another scripture. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19, he says, now all these things are from God. Oh, I love this. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the what?
Word.
The word of reconciliation. So God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, and he's given us the word of reconciliation. And so how the Bible is very clear how Jesus reconciled people. He didn't count their trespasses against them. If you're going to help people get free, you're going to have to get over some of your hang-ups. Because, see, sometimes when folks start getting free, they start confessing stuff. You can't be sitting over there like you've been living holy for your whole life. Just because their issue is different than your issue doesn't mean that their issue is any worse than your issue. Are you hearing me? See, one of the deceptions that the devil does is he tries to make us think that we're more righteous than we really are and that we're holier than we really are. And so when people come and they need help, we can't help because we're too busy judging. But see, the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation is simply this. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. Hey, guess what? Guess what? God sent somebody with an answer. I got the answer to your problem. If you'll just trust me, I can help you out of this. Because God has commissioned me. I've been commissioned by God to set people free from unforgiveness. Are y'all hearing me? Next. Number two, we have a responsibility to confront others about sin. We have a responsibility to confront others about sin. Now, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, this is a problem right now in the body of Christ. Because, you know, I tell y'all this all the time. For those of you watching, you may have never heard me say this, but I tell our church this all the time, that the average believer in America doesn't really want to live in sin. They just want to live sin adjacent. You know, they want to get as close to sin as possible without having to say, I'm a sinner. Without having to say, I've denied Christ. I need you to leave that up, sweetheart. But we have a responsibility as believers to confront others about sin. We're talking about other believers. We're talking about other people in the body of Christ. Are you hearing me? It's our responsibility. So here's why. We are the body of Christ. Body of Christ. So guess what? Guess what? When your breath stinks, your nose confronts you about it. It should. It should. No. This is how a body works. And so how are you saying you're a part of the body, but the rest of the body can't tell you that you're not functioning properly? How are you saying you're a part of the body, but the rest of the body can't tell you you're infected and you're about to infect us? We have a responsibility. Let's look at the scripture. Matthew 18, 15 through 17, watch this. Jesus says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. Now, wait a minute, pause. So you're telling me, those of you that say, can't nobody judge me but God, leave me alone, stay out of my life, you're telling me that you don't want to do this the way Jesus said it's supposed to be done. That your way of living for God is better than the way prescribed by Jesus. So there's no clearer evidence in the scripture than Jesus himself saying, hey, if your brother sins, go show him his fault. Go talk to him about his sin. Oh, this makes people uncomfortable. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, leave that up for a second. Here's what I find so interesting about this. The guy who wrote this, Matthew, used to be a tax collector. So he knew exactly how Jewish people felt about tax collectors. So he wasn't speaking as an allegory here, let him be as a Gentile or maybe even a tax. No, he was saying, the way y'all was treating me, that's how you're supposed to treat the brother who won't repent. Let's see. Next. I had a definition in here. Okay, maybe it's later on. Thank you. Somebody asked me this the other day because they called me to talk to me about something. And they, I don't want this to be gossip, but I just need your input. And so I said, well, why would it be gossip? And they said, well, I went to them, but they wouldn't hear me. I said, okay, that's step one, according to Matthew, right? You went to them, they wouldn't hear you. I said, did you do step two? Did you take somebody with you? They said, yeah, but I don't know, you know. I said, well, let me clarify something for you. Y'all going to hear this again next week when we talk about gossip, but I'm going to give it to you now, giving you a preview. Here's the definition that Dr. Bruce uses for gossip, and I thought it was perfect. Gossip is talking about someone with the purpose of putting them down in the eyes of someone else with no intention of doing anything about it. That's how we know Jesus isn't encouraging gossip. He ain't saying, go get two people and just commiserate about it. That's not what he said. He said, go get two people, and now the three of you go back to your brother and say, hey, we want to hear all the facts here so that we can help you get out of this. The church is supposed to be proactive. We're not supposed to wait until somebody shipwrecks and now we want to pull out our, you know, the Titanic sinking. Now we want, oh, we need to do something to rescue that. No. We should have noticed there was a problem long before it got to that point. And we should have been addressing the problem long before it got to that point. But because we have all this bad teaching in the church about these types of things, people go unchecked and they got unrepentant sin in their lives and nobody's saying anything about it. You know, you got to just stay out of people's business. That's not what the Bible tells me to do. That ain't what the Bible tells me to do. Next. Number three, we said this already, but we'll say it again. People need help getting free from unforgiveness. People need help getting free from unforgiveness, mostly because, like me, I didn't even realize I was still dealing with unforgiveness. Listen, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. I've been in church my whole life. When I couldn't stand being in church, I was in church. When I didn't like the preacher, I was in church. Okay? My grandmother took me to a Baptist church. My mother took me to a holiness church. That's why I tell y'all I'm Bapticostal. Okay? I grew up on a pew. 13 years old, though, I gave my life to the Lord. 13 years old. 15 years old, I preached for the first time. 15 years old. All right? Here's why I'm telling you this. Because in all that time, and in all the preaching I've heard, and I've heard some of the greatest preachers of this and the last generation. You hear me? I've heard some guys that can go. Guess what? Nobody ever taught me how to forgive. Nobody ever taught me how to forgive. They taught me how to repent. Because the Pentecostal church we went to, their whole doctrine was based around Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and you shall be saved. That was the whole thing. So they taught me to repent. And they taught me that I was forgiven, that God had forgiven me. But they never taught me that once he forgives me, he expects me to forgive somebody else. And so not only did I not know how to forgive, I didn't know that my ignorance about forgiveness was keeping me in bondage and torment. So we got a whole bunch of folks walking around with anxiety and all this other stuff, but they got the Prince of Peace. But see, they don't realize they're in torment. If they just deal with the unforgiveness, all the torment stops. So people need help. They need help. Sometimes they need help even identifying that they're dealing with unforgiveness. Next. This is beautiful. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Watch this. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Go back to verse number 1, please. brethren, I gotta get this right. Brethren, which means we're talking to who? The body of Christ. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass. So we're talking about somebody who's gotten into an entanglement. We're talking about somebody who they've gotten themselves into something that they can't get free from. Now, that next line, you who are spiritual, how do we know who the spiritual people are? Are the spiritual people the pastors and the prophets and the evangelists and the apostles? Now, if you go read Galatians 5, the spiritual people are the people who walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the Spirit. One of the points Dr. Bruce makes in the video, he said, I would much rather have a brand new Christian walking in the Spirit try to help me than somebody with all this time and experience, but they're in the flesh. Now you hear me? So he says, now watch this. He says, restore such a one. Restore. What does that mean? It means get them out of it. Get them back to where they can function normally. Help them get free. But he says, do it with gentleness. He says, one translation says, considering yourself. Considering yourself. Meaning, don't go in here thinking you're better than them. Are you hearing me? So he's telling us over and over and over again, our responsibility is what? To help people get free. All right, next. The number one sign of unforgiveness is, anybody know? Bitterness. You want to know how you can tell people are bitter? Let me ask you something. Has anybody here ever tasted anything bitter? So what happens when you put something bitter in your mouth? Well, here's what you don't understand. Your tongue is telling you, that's bitter, I don't like it. When a person's struggling with bitterness, their tongue is going to tell you that they're bitter. And they may try to disguise it with all the Christianese and spiritual jargon that they can come up with, but the bitterness just comes through. It just comes through. And that's the first sign, okay, this person is probably dealing with some unforgiveness. Let's look at the scripture. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So Paul does several things here. Verse 31, if you would put that up, please. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you. So if somebody's dealing with bitterness and it starts to come out, somebody's got to help them put that away. Somebody's got to help them understand there's something deeper going on here. This is not godly. This is not wholesome. This is not healthy. Now this just could be me. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you're having this good conversation and then all of a sudden you start feeling like a dark cloud over the conversation? Like the conversation got heavy because they've wandered into their area of bitterness. And they can be making jokes about it. They can be, but guess what? If you're at all sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you figure out real quick, okay, this is not good. This is not healthy. So Paul says, put away all of that stuff so that you can be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ. So here we have once again where the Bible is telling us that we're supposed to forgive the same way we're forgiven. Next. I'm going to keep moving because if I move fast enough, nobody won't throw nothing at me. One of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Watch this. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. So Paul says, hey, when it comes to that whole problem with bitterness, you're going to have to dig up the roots. You got to get to the root of that issue. This is not something, anybody ever had to weed their garden? Anybody weed their yard? I'm talking about before they came with all this fancy stuff. You know, we had to go out by hand and pull the weeds. You don't know nothing about that. You're too young to know something about that. But we had to go pull weeds by hand. My grandfather had a garden, and he'd tell me, now, Buck, you know what your work is today. That's what he called me. Now, Buck, you know what your work is today. You got to get out there and weed that garden. And so if I went out there and called myself weeding that garden, and he went and checked, because he was going to check behind me, and I hadn't pulled all those weeds, or watch this, if I hadn't pulled them by the root, he would be so upset, because not getting the root means that thing's coming back. And sometimes, depending on the type of weed it is, if you don't get the root, when you snap off the end of it to make it look like it's gone, it multiplies. What's that stuff they got here in Georgia? I had never heard of it before. Kudzu. Anybody ever had that deal with kudzu? It's like dealing with a fast-moving plague. I'm serious. That stuff, man, it gets started. And once it gets started, you got to, call out a hazmat team to stop that stuff. That stuff will overtake your whole house. The plant that ate Georgia. Thank you, Don. So those of you watching at home, Sam said, if you go out at night and listen real quiet, you can hear that kudzu crawling across the yard. No. Was it China or Japan? Japan? So here's the thing. Let's get back on track. Here's the thing. We're talking about getting the root. Well, kudzu is one of those things that if you're going to stop it, you got to get the roots out. You got to get the roots out. And so Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews rather says, hey, see to it that no root of bitterness springs up and leads people into error. So you got bitter preachers preaching out of their bitterness and wondering why their church is so dysfunctional. I'm just telling you. You have to deal with this. All right? Next. How to help someone forgive. Come on. Next. First of all, recognize their what? Recognize their unforgiveness. So how do we recognize their unforgiveness? Number one, we need to listen for verbal clues. Verbal clues. Number two, we need to ask what kind of questions? Leading questions. Ask leading questions. Here's a leading question. Do you have trouble sleeping? You know? But I'm saying, if somebody's dealing with unforgiveness, Guess what? One of the signs that they deal with unforgiveness is they have trouble sleeping. You have trouble sleeping? Oh, I haven't had a good night's rest in 4 years. Do you have anxiety? Yes. These are all leading questions that you can ask to help people to try to discover if they're dealing with unforgiveness. Ask the validating question. What is the validation question? Would you say you experience what? Torment. Would you say you experience torment from time to time? Do you feel tormented? Now, when you ask that, sometimes they're going, what do you mean, do I feel tormented? You go back to those leading questions. Do you have trouble sleeping? Are you feeling anxiety? Are you feeling, what's going on with you when you get into your quiet time? Because you're trying to find out where the issue is so you can help them. When you go to the doctor, does the doctor just get out of his pad and start writing? No. He generally is going to say, Don, what's going on? How you feeling? Now, you just ran $1,000 worth of tests, and you come in here asking me what's going on. You know more about my insides than I do. But guess what? They're still going to come in. What's going on? How is this feeling? How would you rate your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? These are leading questions that doctors ask. So right now, guess what? You're the physician. You've got to ask some questions. B, you need to identify the what? Wound. Identify the wound. Because we told you that when we're trying to help people get free, we're dealing with how to heal those wounds. You ever been talking to somebody and you guys are having a great conversation, and then all of a sudden you say something? See, Barb has experienced this because Barb has got a sarcastic personality. But all of a sudden, that is true. Don't tell them. You're sitting on the front row. Don't sit on the front row and act like I'm telling a lie. So you're talking to somebody and you're having a good conversation, and all of a sudden you say something joking and they snap. You know what you just did? You hit that wound. You bumped up against that wound. That's a sensitive area for them. Why? And you sitting there going, why are you responding this way? I was joking. They don't joke about that. You hear me? How do you identify the wound? Go back to listen for what?
Verbal clues.
The verbal clues will tell you where the area of the wound is. And then this time you need to ask what kind of questions?
Probing questions.
Now you got to get it. You ask leading questions at first. Now you're starting to dig a little deeper. When did this start? When did you start feeling this way about this? Because you're trying to help them figure out how they got on this path too. Because a lot of times when people are on that path of unforgiveness and they're in torment, they don't even remember how they got there. So one of the reasons it's hard for them to get out of it is because they don't even remember how they got there. So here's some probing questions. Who hurt you the most? How did they hurt you? What wound causes you the most emotional pain or distress? These are probative questions. You're trying to get answers so that you can help them. Number three, you have to gain access to their sacred place. You have to gain access to their sacred place. So while I'm asking all these probing questions, I'm reassuring them I'm only asking this because I want to help you get free. All right? So how do you gain access to their secret place, their sacred place? Assure them of God's love for them. Let me say this. Well, it'll cover it in the next one. B, help them know they are safe with you. So assure them of God's love. Help them know they're safe with you by assuring them that you love them. I'm here doing this because I love you. I want God's best for you. Three, Assure them of your confidentiality. This is the big one. Because nobody can be open with somebody who's going to run and tell their business. Nobody can be open with somebody if you're a gossip. There's three ways to get the news out. Television, telephone, and tell that joke over there. Next one. You cannot help someone forgive if you are what? Judgmental toward them. Remember I told you earlier, when one of the things, now this will help you. I'm gonna tell you what I did. This is what works for me. Because when I started moving in different areas of ministry and people started coming to me wanting to talk to me about confidential issues, here was my prayer. I said, Lord, grant me the ability to forget everything I don't need to remember. I'm serious. So people would tell me stuff. I would sit and listen to them attentively, talk to them about it, prescribe whatever the Lord lays on my heart to prescribe for them. They go get set free. They come back to testify. What you said worked. Guess what I say? What did I say? Because I asked God to give me the ability to forget. Because it keeps me from being judgmental. It helps me to always be able to see them the way God wants me to see them. Are you hearing me? D, help them see how God's views, help them see God's views on unforgiveness. So how does God feel about unforgiveness? It's sin. It's sin. It's a harshly punishable sin. Next, address roadblocks to forgiveness. Somebody tell me, what are some of the roadblocks? You did this as a small group, didn't you? The forgiveness. What are some of the roadblocks to forgiveness? One of the biggest ones you're going to run into? I don't have a problem with unforgiveness. I forgave it already. I'm good. Somebody said denial. Y'all know denial is a river in Egypt, right? Okay. Address the roadblocks. Okay, next. You need to tell them God expects forgiving people to forgive others. Two, you need to tell them vengeance belongs to God, not to you or me. You hear me? These are things you have to do. And then you walk them through the protocols of forgiveness that we taught you last week. Right? And my favorite one on that whole list is the one that says, I specifically remember forgiving that. Because I just have to remind myself. Okay, next. It says, coach them. Huh? Coach them through forgiveness. So now, we said that they can't get free on their own. So you got to do a step-by-step coaching with them. And once you get them there, watch. It says, walk them through the protocols. The protocols is the first one of forgiveness. Walk them through those protocols. You got to teach them. You got to be able to recite them. Okay? Next, it says, watch for signs of what? Peace and release. Guess what? You'd be surprised when people are taught to forgive and they go through this whole thing and they learn the protocols of forgiveness and they learn how to specifically forgive people for specific things that they've done. One of the first things they tell you over and over and over again, I don't care how many times I hear the stories, the first thing they say, I have such peace. People say things like, I slept through the night for the first time in 5 years, 10 years. One lady said she slept through the night for the first time in 50 years. C, repeat as necessary. That's why we do this every year, because I know it needs to be repeated. I need a reminder too, trust me. Trust me, there's stuff that happens during my week and during my year, and God has to tell me, you do realize that you teach forgiveness, right? You probably need to live your teaching right now. Number five, praise God with them for the what?
Freedom
of forgiveness. Praise God with them. Hey, I'm so glad you're free. Now, let me tell you how you stay free. You got to live this. You got to predetermine you're going to forgive just like Jesus. And you live it out, right? All right, last scripture, Romans 12, 17 through 20. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, watch this, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. So now, here's what Paul's saying in Romans. He said, if you want to get back at people, get back at them with kindness. He said, feed them. Give them something to drink. Your kindness is like hot coals on their head. Because they guess what? People know when they've done you wrong. They know when they've done you wrong. And they coming looking for a fight. When they get there, if you ain't ready to fight, if you don't want to fight, guess what? They're the ones disappointed. I came for a fight and you actually giving me something to drink? All right. Y'all pray for this front row. We need Jesus to visit the front row. All right. Today's lesson took a little longer than usual because I wanted to make sure I finished everything. Okay? Because next week we'll be talking about something else. We're done with forgiveness for this year. That should hold you. That's your forgiveness booster shot. Here's what I want you to remember. Big takeaways. God expects forgiven people to forgive. When you understand this, you understand that there shouldn't be anything that a person can do that you say, I just can't forgive them for that. Because I guarantee you, there is absolutely nothing a person can do to you that's worse than how you've offended God. I guarantee you. Listen, if you actually believe somebody can do something to you that's worse than anything you've done to God, what that tells me is you have a God complex. You actually think you're more important than God. Okay? So God wants us to be people that forgive, people that help others forgive, people that predetermine that we're going to live a forgiving lifestyle. Amen? Father, we certainly thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that your word comes to reprove us. It comes to challenge us. But mostly it comes to mold us and shape us into the image of your dear son, Jesus. And so we thank you for the washing of your word. We thank you that your word is what we need right now. I pray, God, for anyone who is listening to the sound of my voice that is struggling with unforgiveness. I pray, Lord, that they would reach out to us, that they would reach out to someone who knows how to walk them through the protocols of forgiveness and help them find the freedom that you promised in your word, that they would be bound no longer, that the torment would stop. We've actually seen physical healings when people get free from unforgiveness. So, Father, we thank you for it now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give the man of God a hand. That's a good word. You know, I told y'all this last week, and, you know, it still remains true that though this message always kicks my butt, it's still probably my favorite thing that's preached. Because I think that the beauty of it is that once you learn how to forgive, you realize that no one has any power over you, that the enemy doesn't have power over you, that there's no power in a situation that someone can do to you to put you back into bondage. And I would encourage you that most of us have heard this message multiple times, and Light Pastor has constantly told us that we have a responsibility now to go teach someone else. And there's power in doing that, to now taking what I know and sharing it with someone else to allow someone else to experience the freedom that God has given me. Me and Shanae had the opportunity several years ago to teach a small group. And one of the lessons that I learned in that on teaching someone how to forgive is that someone has to be in a place to do it, that I can't force you to accept it, that you have to be open to it. But once you've heard it, you're still responsible for it. You know, and so we saw some of our friends be completely set free. And even to this day, they talk about when they get in situations about that, those lessons that we went through and that they, how they know about forgiveness and going through the protocols and what God is still doing in their lives because they have chosen to live a life of pre-forgiveness. But there was also people there who they just didn't seem interested. And for me, I was like, why are you here? Like, why did you sign up for it? We didn't force you to do this. But you can see the ramifications in their lives that God is still holding them responsible for the knowledge that they have. So I would say don't take this lightly. Don't teach it lightly. That if you choose to teach it, make sure you give everybody the warning that if you start it, make sure you finish it. And if you're going to do it, take it seriously because now you're held responsible for it. So that's just my encouragement to everyone. Again, I love the forgiveness message. It is simply a reminder that God has forgiven me of so much, so I have a responsibility to forgive others. But if you feel like you were in this room or if you're watching this video and you don't know